Welcome to the Life Church St. Peter's Message of the Week. We hope you're encouraged by today's message and encounter God's heart through it. To find out more about us, visit lifechurchstpeters.com.
Hi, my name's Tom Kyle. My beautiful wife, Randy, is sitting in the front row with me, and we have the pleasure and privilege of serving this community. Just before I get to what I want to share this morning, I just want to say, a couple of weeks ago, JC spoke. Is JC still in the room? He's out serving again. That's him. JC shared something on a Sunday morning, and I think the title was something like, "What Keeps You Up at Night?" Simply outstanding. I love JC. I love what he shares, how he shares. And he was, there he is. There's our friend JC. Anointed, amazing. Thank you for all that you and your beautiful wife, Carmen, do for this body. But it's just, I think you shared something about your mother-in-law, who her and her husband planted churches all over South America, maybe Central America. They're just church planters. And I forget the exact age, but I think you said your mother-in-law is around 90, 92. And I had 93, so, you know, she's younger, far, far younger. But it was, somebody asked her a question, you know, if you had to go back, what would you tell yourself? And she would have told herself, "I wish I wouldn't have been afraid. I wish I wouldn't have been afraid." And so that's a lesson for me, for you, as we encounter those things that seem daunting, that seem like mountains in our life. If the Lord is for me, who can be against me? And I start believing, what does Jesus say? What does the Word of God have to say about me, about you, about life lessons? I do want to finally get to a series that I've been threatening to start for probably 15 years, I don't know. But I would like to start a series this morning on the book of Acts. It's like, finally. I just hope it's not we waited all that for that. So trust, it's worth everything, the wait, the excitement, the anticipation. And again, some people say, who loves making New Year's resolutions? Anybody in here? Kim almost had her hand up. Jeff, you have a New Year's resolution? I'm horrible at it. And I don't do them. I simply don't do New Year's resolutions anymore. But I do have this thing called almost like themes. I just feel like the Lord will put a theme on your heart for the coming year. And so for this year, I was praying leading up to it, October, November, December. And I wrote it down. It was in September. I just felt the Lord dropped a word into my heart about adventure. That 2024 is going to be a year of adventure. Now, some of us, it'd be like this. If I say to my wife, "Hey, we're going to get to go on a vacation." Many of us would say, "How exciting, amazing a vacation." My wife is repulsed. She's a homer. She wants to be at home. I like to go. I love to travel. I love to experience new things. And so I am very aware that some people, when you say the word adventure, it's like, ooh. Adventure, that sounds scary. It sounds like the unknown. What's it going to be like? And then the other part of us, so that when you say adventure, say yes. So whether if I say the word adventure and you get a queasy feeling on the inside, and you're like, I don't know. In fact, I think I've got a definition of adventure. Just pulled it off of a dictionary. Adventure, an exciting, that should be a good word, could be a good word, or remarkable experience, undertaking, unknown, and there's the operative word, risks. See, some of us are like, risk you, risk run. But what if that risk is a blessing? What if it's something that you've longed for in your heart your whole life, and finally you get to receive that thing that seemed impossible, it seemed like it was never gonna happen, but it took you getting out of the boat in order to walk on the water with Jesus. What if it took something, just faith, to step out and believe that God was going to bless me, bless you? So I just feel like for us as a church family moving into 2024, it is going to be a year of adventure. And I love it. For me, it's exciting. I like it. And I just want to start with the book of Acts. And I'm thrilled because the book of Acts is one of my favorite. I know I say that probably about every book in the Bible, But not every book. I can mention a couple that just don't, you know, I study them because I should study them. But there are certain books that just resonate. And I love this book. And within mankind, every single son and daughter of Jesus resides. If you're born again, if you're a follower of Jesus, inside of us lies the DNA of heaven. As we are filled with the Holy Spirit, and the book of Acts is all about the Holy Spirit. He came and he stayed and he is here to enhance adventure, make adventure happen, that I would listen, be obedient, and I could start, and you and I could start doing the exact same things that Jesus did and does. And now the Holy Spirit lives on the inside. The Holy Spirit's a total game changer. Everything about it, he's rewired me on the inside. I used to be, my father used to make fun of me. Growing up, we had nicknames in my family. And one of my nicknames that I'm going to tell you about, some of them I will not. This is from my father. My dad called me Wart. Isn't that a cool nickname? Hey, Wart. But it was short for Worry Wart. Because my whole life, I was prone to worry. I would worry about tomorrow. I would worry about the next day. I would worry about anything. I was just prone to worry. And at 18, I gave my heart to Jesus. And I can't explain it. Two things dropped off supernaturally. I wish it was 100 other things. But for me, cussing just went. And one day, it's gone. I could hit my thumb with a hammer. And what goes in my mind is, ow. That's it. And some of you know that's not necessarily what you're thinking and saying on the inside or on the outside. But it was just bizarre. And my friends noticed, it's like, Tom, what happened? I'm like, I don't know. I just don't do that anymore. And the other thing that just happened supernaturally is just worry, for the most part, just went. And in this place, I just became this annoyingly positive, my wife would tell you at times, this annoyingly positive person. I just think things are going to turn out well. I think God's involved. It's going, if I trust him, if I live with him, if I walk with him, somehow, some way, it's going to turn out, it's going to work. And it's just the rewiring of the DNA of God on the inside. It's a total game changer when the Holy Spirit came and resided amongst us. In Genesis 1, verses 27 to 28, NIV, the Bible says this. So God created mankind in his own image. In the image of God, he created them, male and female, he created them. And God blessed them and said to them, this is Adam and Eve, be fruitful and increase in number. Fill the earth and subdue it. Rule over the fish in the sea. I don't know how we're going to do that other than eating them. Rule over the fish in the sea. And the birds in the sky, and over every living creature that moves on the ground. It was God's mandate for mankind. It's his world. He created it. He has ownership rights. And God said, that is what his intention is for mankind. It's never changed. It still hasn't changed. We haven't moved on to plan B or C because this didn't work, and that failed. That is God's intention for mankind. And he's waiting for a generation of people who will actually believe that. We don't acquiesce. We don't get it. The devil, it's yours. It's not his. Amen. That's a lie that he wants us to believe and to swallow, that we are always playing on the back foot. But our Heavenly Father says, it's my earth. You're my people. You're created in my image. I've got my DNA inside of you. Now take ground. Move forward. It's our DNA. It's not for me to just live a boring life. It's for me not just to be, you know, a middle-class American. For so many people, we can live our lives with just, someday I just want to own a house. Someday I just want to get married. I hope someday I have a fulfilling job. I hope someday I have children. I hope someday I have children that like me. Someday, I hope every year I can go on a vacation. I heard that. Adventure. Someday, I'd love to eat out once a week. Most Americans, we've achieved that. I want to have a couple of hobbies. I want to be able to save money. I want to be able to save up retirement, that I can retire in my 60s. I want to be able to enjoy my children. I want to go to heaven in a peaceful way. So many people have so many dreams that actually fall so short of that, because all those things that I outlined, yes and amen for almost all of them. But I think that's not what I was created for, just to live a nice life, just to have some money when I get old, or have some money while I'm getting old and when I'm old. There's so much more to life that God has called us as his children to live and do and have our being in him. It's our DNA. It's the way we're wired now. There's so much more available for the heartbeat of God. And at our core, all those things are true, but we're called to bring heaven to earth, to display that, to love God, to love people, to live with purpose. It's our calling. It's our destiny. It's why we still have breath in our body. It's that I would take the life that he's given me and to take the love that Jesus has shown in me and to give it to a dying world that has no hope, that are fighting for the very things that I outlined, those simple things, just to have peace in my home, to have kids that don't hate me, that I would have money, that I'd have opportunity. There's so much more for the people of God that we could take this life, this love, and to give it away to change this earth. It's his only agenda. This is the only thing. He has no plan B, and he's not going to give up on it. And the book of Acts is all about a group of people who 50 days before were hiding in their homes, threatened their lives. They were literally behind locked doors, afraid that they were going to be killed just like Jesus was killed. And these cowering men, mostly men, something happened. The Holy Spirit came and changed them. And now these men who were hiding behind locked doors went out and said, do whatever you want, but I'm going to tell you about this love that Jesus has given me and changed my life. No longer hiding, no longer quaking, no longer worried about what's going to happen to them. What was the difference? The Holy Spirit. Amen. And I don't understand why the type of church I was raised in was the world. I retired from church at 12. It was a wonderful Methodist church, and I simply gave up on it because I didn't see the relevancy for me. So I went into the world. But when I got born again, became a Jesus follower at age 18, I went to a church that was exciting, that people were getting saved. Literally, there was a baptismal behind the platform where the preacher, and every single week, there was just people walking in, getting baptized, walking out. It was 10, 15, 20 people every single Sunday getting born again and baptized in water. Wow. It was just, and I thought that was normal because that's all I knew. I didn't go to any other churches. That was my first church. And I thought, that's normal. It was amazing. At church on Sunday, I saw miracles happen. Every Sunday, it was just crazy world. I couldn't wait to go. I was only 18. And now I think, Lord, can we have some more of that? And that was the book of Acts. You have people who are tired and just, Lord, they just wanted to give up because Jesus came and he died and it didn't work. And Jesus came and he began appearing to him over 40 days. And he said, I'm alive. I'm here. I'm alive. I'm here. And then after 40 days, he went for the last time back up to heaven. And he said, I want you to do something. I want you to go and I want you to pray. I want all of you to get together and just pray and wait for this gift that's coming. And it's going to change everything. Everything. Can I just say, it wasn't home groups. It wasn't even the Bible. I don't mean that in any irreverency or, you know, to degrade the Bible in any way. But it wasn't go home and study your Bibles. It was go home and pray because something, someone is coming who's going to change everything for the rest of eternity. It's not going to be Holy Spirit in heaven. It's going to be Holy Spirit on earth in you. And now you're going to begin acting and behaving exactly like Jesus. Jesus said this in John 16, verse 7. Amazing words. And if you think, if he told you this, you would argue with him. But this is what Jesus said, red letters. But verily, truly, I tell you, it is for your good that I'm going away. Unless I go away, the advocate, the Holy Spirit, will not come to you. But if I go away, I will send him to you. The New American Standard, that's the NIV, New American Standard says, it is to your advantage that I go. Now, if any of us sat there and said, John Worm, Jesus is coming to your house for lunch today, you'd be pretty pumped up. And he's going to stay, and he's going to eat, and he's going to teach, and he's going to speak. And you'd be like, don't leave. Don't go. Please don't go. You brought peace to my home. Everybody's healed. Everybody's whole. We've never experienced anything like you, Jesus. Please don't go. And if he told you, he said, no. Guess what? You're going to be better off if I leave right now and send Holy Spirit. You'd be like, no, that's simply not possible. It's simply not true. That can't be. How could anything be better than Jesus sitting right here with me? Holy Spirit inside you for the rest of your day. The same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead is now in me. Total game changer. And the disciples are like, Jesus, don't go. And he says, no, it's to your advantage if I go. You're going to be better off if I go. Because if I go, I'm going to send him. And he's not going to be on the outside like it was in the Old Testament, where the Holy Spirit came on top of people and they prophesied and did amazing things, like Samson, amazing things, long hair, all that cool stuff. He says, no. You'll never be the same because he comes inside and he's going to change you from the inside out. You will never be the same. That's crazy talk. And yet it's true. It's adventure. And that's what Holy Spirit has for us. It's adventure. This book, the book of Acts, it's actually part two of a two-part series. Many of us will know that. The Gospel of Luke was part one. And this man named Luke wrote the account of the Gospel of Luke that there would be facts about what happened when Jesus was born. He lived his life, the cross. It was factual information. But Luke said, but it didn't stop with Jesus. I want to give you an accurate account. I want to give you a recollection of the truth about what happened. Jesus died, rose again, and now this is what happened. This is how the church started. This is what it looked like. This is how it happened. This is why it happened. You think of all people, I would want two people. I would want an accountant. We have at least one accountant in the room. And accountants, by nature, I think are very precise, very detail-oriented. I'm not going to say they're annoying. When they ask you for all your specific receipts, I get annoyed. People who know me in receipts, I get annoyed. Why do I have to? Because they want the details. It has to be precise. It has to be perfect for an accountant. In the same way with a doctor. I don't like doctors. I just don't like doctors. If you're a doctor, God bless you. I thank God for doctors. People say, I don't mind going to a dentist because a dentist probably isn't going to give me really bad news. That's going to cost you $2,000. Ow. A doctor? A doctor can give you bad news. But a doctor, if you go to a doctor, and many of them, there's this phrase, they don't have great bedside manner. Why? Because they just want the facts. It sounds like the old Dragnet show. Just the facts, ma'am. And the doctor, give me just give me the details. What's this? What's this? And a doctor wants preciseness. He wants accuracy. He just wants the truth. What is going on? And this man, Luke, who wrote the book of Acts, he's a doctor. He's a physician. And it's so perfect in the mind of God and the heart of God. He's just like, I'm going to have somebody give an accurate account, just the details. And we have this book of Acts that gives an accurate account what happened in the early churches. Approximately 30 years went by with the in the accounting of the book of Acts. And as we read the book of Acts, we can think, why doesn't this stuff happen on Tuesday and Wednesday? These things happened over 30 years. It was a long decades over this book. But I don't want to demean or diminish in anything. This is, it's like what Jesus did. The Bible says about Jesus' life, if everything was recorded that he said and did, all the books of the world couldn't contain them. So it's not like that's all the things that Jesus did. And in the book of Acts, this is not the only things that happened in the early church. But God said, I want you to understand how and why the early church started. I want you to know what it was about, what things happened, what was the DNA of it, what was the genesis of it, what was the heartbeat of it. And so this physician wrote this book, and he sent it to a guy, and we'll read it in just a second, a guy named Theophilus. And again, Theophilus is mentioned at the beginning of the book of Luke, the same guy as the mentioned at the beginning of the book of Acts. And people said, who is this Theophilus? Well, people argue over who it was, but potentially they think it was a guy who used to be a chief high priest. You remember Annas and Caiaphas in the New Testament? It was written in the Gospels. They think that this man, Theophilus, was also a high priest for 5 years, got saved, became a believer, and now he's this amazing follower of Jesus. And a physician said, I want to give this letter. It's so important. It's an accurate account of what happened. I want to give it to this man who will make sure it doesn't just get lost on the shelf or get used for a fireplace, you know, tender, starting something. He says, Luke said, I'm going to, as a physician, as a doctor, precise, this information needs to go to someone who is trustworthy. And he wrote this information and gave it to this man, Theophilus. We don't actually know for sure, but that's what most of the theologians would say. So, and as we read this book, and I want to encourage you to read this book, it's fabulous. I love the Bible because it's filled with warts and pimples. When it's writing about me, I don't want anybody to hear all the bad stuff. You know, one of my nightmares at night is I wake up and my life is on the video screen. Oh, Pastor Tom, you had that thought? You said that to your wife? What kind of person are you? I don't want that up there. Which is the nice things. When I bought my wife flowers, or I said nice things to her. I helped an old lady across the street. Not that old lady, a different old lady. That is not on my notes. Stay on your notes. Edit that right out. I never said it. Don't call an audible. But I love the Bible because real things are written in it. Ugly things, people's failures. And it gives me hope because I could think that all these disciples, all these apostles are just perfect. And then I look at me and I know I'm not perfect. But that's not how the Bible is written. It shows these men and women's failures and their inconsistencies and their mess ups. And it gives me hope because I think, if you can use someone like Peter, you might be able to use me. In the book of Acts, it's the same thing. We're going to get to it in a few weeks when I talk about Acts chapter 5 and two people, a man and a woman, they just told a lie. They told a lie. And church was very short for them that day. We won't go into it. But the book of Acts, just like so much of the Bible, it has heroes and villains, but it's just normal people. It talks about abuses, excesses, how to live life, what's really important, what's not important. It is that if I can read the Bible and apply it to my life, I can have hope that, Lord, I can see heaven on earth in my life too. If you can use those people, why can't you use me? Why can't you use us? Why can't you use First Baptist down the street? Lord, I want to pray for people and believe, Lord, if Genesis 1 is true, if that's your burden, Lord, I want to live like it's true. I only have one life to live. I only have one opportunity. Lord, may I make it count. And I read about Acts. These people lived 2,000 years ago, but they lived in such a way that it's accounted for in the Word of God. Can we read just chapter 1 real quick? Again, it's over a 30-year span. Let me just read chapter 1 out of Acts 1. In my former book, Theophilus, it's the man I mentioned a moment ago. In my former book, which is the Gospel of Luke, in my former book, Theophilus, I wrote about all that Jesus began to do and to teach until the day he, Jesus, was taken up to heaven after giving instructions through the Holy Spirit to the apostles he had chosen. After his suffering, he presented himself to them and gave many convincing proofs that he was alive. And he appeared to them over a period of 40 days and spoke about the kingdom of God. Verse 4, on one occasion, while he was eating with them, Jesus gave them this command: do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift my Father promised, which you have heard me speak about. For John baptized with water, but in a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit. Verse 6, then they gathered around him and asked him, Lord, are you at this time going to restore the kingdom to Israel? And Jesus said to them, it is not for you to know the times or dates the authority has set. The times or dates the Father has set by his own authority. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you. And you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. And after Jesus said this, he was taken up before their very eyes, and a cloud hid him from their sight. They were looking intently up into the sky. I love this. They were looking intently up to the sky as he was going, when suddenly two men, angels, dressed in white, stood before them, beside them. Men of Galilee, they said, this is the angel speaking, why do you stand here looking into the sky? Same question for us. Why are we, Lord, come back? He's like, you got a job to do. That's why I'm not coming back. When you do your job, Genesis 1, 26, 27, 28, when you fill the earth, that's when I'm coming back. Lord, when are you coming back? When you do your job. When are you coming back? Tom, when you change your attitude. When are you coming back? Tom, when you grow in the fruits of the Spirit and the actions that I've given you. When you tell all your friends about Jesus and people are born again. That's when I'm coming back. Sorry, digression. Verse 11. But I love this. It's just, they're no different than us. Men of Galilee, they said, verse 11, why do you stand here looking into the sky? This same Jesus who has been taken from you into heaven will come back in the same way you've seen him go into heaven. Then the apostles returned to Jerusalem from the hill called the Mount of Olives, a Sabbath day's walk from the city. When they arrived, they went upstairs to the room where they were staying. Those present were Peter, John, James, and Andrew, Philip and Thomas, Bartholomew and Matthew, James, son of Alphaeus, Simon the Zealot, and Judas, son of James. They all joined together constantly in eating. They all joined together constantly in prayer, along with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and with his brothers. In those days, Peter stood up among the believers, a group numbering about 120, and said, brothers and sisters, the scripture had to be fulfilled in which the Holy Spirit spoke long ago through David concerning Judas, who served as a guide for those who arrested Jesus. He was one of our number and shared in our ministry. Verse 18, with the payment, this is speaking of Judas, with the payment he received for his wickedness, Judas bought a field where he fell headlong, his body burst open, and all his intestines spilled out. Ew. Verse 19, everyone in Jerusalem heard about this, so they called that field in their language, Al-Kadima, that is, field of blood. Verse 24, said Peter, it is written in the book of Psalms, may his place be deserted, let there be no one to dwell in it, and may another take his place of leadership. Therefore, it is necessary to choose one of the men who have been with us the whole time the Lord Jesus was living amongst us, beginning from John's baptism to the time when Jesus was taken up from us. For one of these must become a witness with us of his resurrection. So they nominated two men, Joseph called Barsabbas, also known as Justice, and Matthias. Then they prayed, Lord, you know everyone's heart. Show us which of these two you have chosen to take over this apostolic ministry, which Judas left to go where he belongs. Verse 26, then they cast lots and the lot fell to Matthias. And so he was added to the 11 apostles. I love what, you know, in verse 6 to 11, they're just missing it. They're, Lord, when are you going to establish Israel? Because that's all they could understand. He's like, guys, I want you to go into the whole world. Yes, Israel's important. Yes, they have a place to play. But that's not for you to worry about. Your job, go tell everybody about Jesus. Be witnesses of his resurrection. Be witnesses of his truth, what he taught you. Go tell everyone. Don't worry about the nation of Israel. I've got them. But you, what should you be doing? Go tell everyone about Jesus. Do it the Lord's way. I so appreciate the end of Acts 1 because in a funny kind of way, when I remember the first time I read it, they cast lots. We don't cast lots. Anybody ever cast lots? No, it's not. It's just not a normal thing. Anyone ever flipped a coin? Anyone ever drawn straws? Anybody ever played eeny, meeny, miny, moe? Literally, they were gambling. I hope the right person comes up with it. Whatever that looked like to them. Because I guarantee you, in the Jewish traditions, they had a way of settling things. They're going to cast lots. And to whoever this sovereignty of God works out to, long straw, short straw, you're out, you're in, you win. Okay, let's go. It's man's way. And the funny thing is, this is the last time that you see them doing something before Holy Spirit came. Because after Holy Spirit came, they don't have to cast lots anymore. But they don't know any different. They're doing it man's way. The kingdom of man way. And I just wonder this. I wonder how many times I settle decisions logically. Man's way. This makes sense. I'm going to do this. I'm just going to trust that the Lord's going to bless what I'm about to do. That's an option. They did it right here. We're just going to trust that, okay, full bottle, empty bottle, right hand, left hand. Right. Wrong. Full bottle. I get the empty one. You lose. That's Barsabbas and Matthias. That's how they chose who's the next apostle. Are you kidding me? But they did it. Warts and pimples. It's all right there. Why? Because Holy Spirit hadn't come yet. That's all they knew. And now I look at my own life. Is that all I know? Or am I going to take time to listen to Holy Spirit? Do what he tells me to do it. Do it heaven's way, not man's logical way, not reason it out. It just makes sense to do it this way. Well, what if Jesus comes along? What if Holy Spirit comes along and says, yeah, get those 20 to 30 gallon containers, six of them, fill them up. Well, that's stupid. We don't need water. We need wine. That's what Jesus did. He took something very unlogical and did miracles with it. Why? Because Jesus was perfectly in tune with Holy Spirit. Amen. What about me? What about you? Why do we need Holy Spirit? Because he changes everything. It's no longer a game of logic and reasoning and how things work out according to man. Holy Spirit comes and he says, I want to show you how you can do it. Let's look for fruit. Let's listen for his voice. So it's not to make fun of these guys. They were doing the best they could. I would have done the same. I'm sure we would have done the same. But when Holy Spirit comes, it changes everything. Yeah. If I'm interested. I wonder if I'm interested. I wonder if I'm interested on this adventure. There's so many different things. The church is growing, aside from cold air. Church is growing. In a couple of weeks, we're going to on a Sunday, just make a proposal. Just we've been praying and listening as leaders, what to do, Lord. How do you want us to go forward? We have some thoughts about that we're going to talk about in a couple of weeks, how to handle the blessing of growth and what's happening. We weigh it before the Lord and say, Lord, what would you have us do? We could read a book. There's tons of book about church growth. There's tons of books about how to do what you're supposed to do. Well, this church in Louisiana did this. This church in Massachusetts did this, and they were blessed. Let's do what they did. Well, God bless them. But what about us? What about what he wants to do with us? Are we going to listen for his voice or do what everybody else does? It's just different. So in 2024, we're going to start out by looking at the book of Acts. We're not going to go through every single verse of each chapter, but we're going to look through it and say, Lord, Holy Spirit, what are you doing? Can we learn principles? Can we understand practice? How we should live, how we shouldn't live in our adventure this year. So great, but how? Conclude in 3 minutes, because it's amazing. It's possible. Great, but how? If you're new, if you're a guest here and you haven't been here for a while, I always try and finish with, okay, that's all wonderful information. I don't know. What do I do with all that? Great, but how? Just two or three real quick ones. Number one, could I encourage you as a church family, could we just start reading the book of Acts? Just front to back, just start reading it. It's only 28 chapters. If you want, listen to it. Read a different version. Just read it to enjoy it. Be provoked by it. What we do is just start reading the book of Acts. Let Holy Spirit speak to me, speak to you. Second thing, great, but how? Get back to praying. Get back to waiting on God. Get back to listening instead of presumption. And well, I'm so busy. Stop. And Lord, I want to listen. I just want to get back to praying. Third thing we do, great, but how? Get back to interacting with Holy Spirit. It's so easy to go with what he told me last time, last year, similar situation, what everybody else is doing. Get back to interacting with the Holy Spirit. If you pray in tongues, and I pray you do, if you don't, come, let's pray and believe that you can have the gift. It's for everyone. Get back to interacting with Holy Spirit, where I pray, I sit, I listen, because Holy Spirit has something to say. He's for us. He's with us. He actually has something to say. And the last thing, the last great but how, reconsider some of my thought and speech. How can I go forward in 2024 and believe and see the things that are written in the Bible? Reconsider some of my thought and speech. What do you mean by that? It's this. How many times have I said, well, I'm too busy to consider doing something like that. I'm just too busy. Or I'm too old for an adventure. Time has passed me by. Read your Bibles. How old was Abraham when he had a baby? How old was Moses when he started? How old was Noah? All the older people in the Older Testament, man, they weren't a bunch of 16, 17-year-olds in general. God used older people, but he also used Joseph. He used David. These guys are teenagers when they were called. It is gender nonspecific. It is age nonspecific. He wants everybody. But am I eliminating my future by my own words, my old thought patterns? And the last thing about reconsidering some of my thought and speech, can I just say, learn to dream again. Just to stop and dream again. Think, Holy Spirit, I have X amount of number of days. I don't know how many days I have left. I want to see miracles. I want to see people come to Jesus. I want to see your kingdom expand in this world. What would you do with me? How would you involve me? Lord, where would you like me to go? Who would you like me to talk to besides everyone? Father, I thank you that you're kind. I thank you, Lord, that you've always used the unlikelies. And Lord, there will never be a more unlikely person than me. And I thank you that you've already called me. You set me aside when I was 18 years old to follow you, to hear you, to love you. Jesus, I don't want to just be washed up. I just don't want to be busy with things that progressing in the world with all the things that the world has and just chasing a career, just chasing blessing. But Lord, I want to chase you.
I want to chase your voice. And I want to sit still enough that I can chase it. I want to stop so that I can chase your voice. Lord, in this year, of all years, I want to hear you. I want to be moved by you. I want to love those people that you placed around me really well. I want to see my neighbors get born again. I want to see my kids that are wayward come home to Jesus. Father, I have dreams, I have hopes, I have longings. Lord, I just want to slow down in my busyness of life long enough to hear your direction, hear your whisper, and then go and proclaim your love to anyone and everyone, to see miracles, to lay hands on the sick, to see them recover, to cast out demons, even someone like me, that you would use me to do it. Father, I simply choose to believe that you would use someone like me. Use this family, Father, to bring your love to neighbors, schools, work. They would know that you're real and that you care and you love them. Jesus blesses as a church family. I thank you for your patience and your grace and your love. Thank you for calling my name, Lord, and knowing me. Bless us, Father, this year in Jesus' mighty name. And everyone said, amen. Amen. Be blessed, be encouraged, have an amazing week in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. Oh, also, if you have needs, we'd like to pray with you. We have a prayer team up here.
Thanks for checking out the Life Church St. Peter's Message of the Week. For more podcasts and additional information, visit us at lifechurchstpeters.com.